Very last chapter of the very last book of our Bible, Revelation chapter 22. While you're turning there, I do want to say this. We gave an award, a gift Bible, to three different individuals who had read through the Bible in 2014. I do want to say this. There are others who read through the Bible cover to cover during that year, and they turned in their slip to me, but they had already received a Bible from our church, so they only get the one. And I honestly believe that there are some that you didn't keep track, you didn't turn it in, but yet you did read your Bible cover to cover, and I want to say thank you very much. Congratulations, but thank you for that. And then I know that there are others that you say, I was not able to successfully read through the entire Bible, but I was able to read every day, or nearly every day. I read some scripture from the Word of God, and I thank you for that as well. That is a great, great place to start, and that is an encouragement to your pastor. Revelation 22, I'm going to read two verses here. The title of my message I'm going to give you at the beginning, I'll read these. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we'll have our special. The title is A Clean Slate. Now, we're here at 2015, January 4th, first Sunday of the year, and we have celebrated many of those here in our church, and some of you have celebrated more first of the year than others, but we have a clean slate. I spoke briefly on Wednesday night about this, having a clean slate, and the Lord allowed me to bring a message here with that title, A Clean Slate. Look at Revelation 22, verse number 12 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Queen, would you lead in a word of prayer? When he says amen, I'll have you be seated. As we come to the end of the Bible, the last chapter of Revelation, God reminds us that He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, according to Hebrews chapter number 12. He is the first and last, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher. I love how Hebrews puts that. There is no question as to our faith. There is no question as to our existence. There is no question as to how God has orchestrated all of this. But it's all coming to a close here in Revelation 22. If you turn one more page, you're in the book of Index. And many of you run to the concordance to find out maybe a particular verse, or you'll know a verse you can't remember the reference, and you'll look in the concordance, you'll look in the index for that. But we're at the close, we're at the end. Some of the Bibles that you can maybe get at the Dollar Tree. By the way, you can buy a King James Bible at the Dollar Tree for a buck, because it is not copyrighted. They can print it more cheaply than they can print anything else, because it is the Word of God, not the Word of man. Amen. Those particular Bibles, you'll come to the very last page, and it'll say in verse number 21, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." You turn the page, and it's blank, because that's the end of the book. There is no more. We come to the end, the close of the Bible. But I have to ask, is it really the end? Absolutely not. In fact, if you look at verse number 12, it says, "And behold, I come quickly," watch now, "and my reward is with me." Here He comes at the very end. Here He comes at the very ending of the book. And He says, "I'm coming, but listen, I have a reward. I've got a reward." Man, if there is a reward, then the end of the book isn't the last that is ever to be said. That is not the last page will ever be turned, just because we come to the last chapter and the last few verses of the last book of our Bible does not mean that it's all over. I'm thankful for the rewards that God gives to us. I'm thankful for the rewards that He gives to us now, but I'm thankful for the rewards that He will give to us one day in heaven. Now, what's unfortunate is people consider that reward. Now listen, please listen. People think about that reward that God has. They think about that reward as if I were to live a good enough life in this life, then at the end of my life, and when I step over into the next life, God will give me a reward for having lived such an impeccable life. But that's not Bible. That's not Scripture. That's not God's Word. He never anywhere tells us in the Bible that if you will live impeccably, then I have a reward for you, and that reward is eternity in heaven. That's not Scripture. He does tell us about a reward. Most certainly. Now, often in the Bible, a reward is a negative thing that is given. Not always, but often in the Bible. A reward is something because the one that comes to my mind is those that will receive a recompense of reward. In other words, they lived a despicable life and they will get what is coming to them. But listen, I will never make it to heaven. You're here this morning. Maybe you say, well, I've been a member of this church since nearly its inception 32 years ago. Or maybe you say, I've just recently been a member of this church. Or maybe you say, I've never yet joined. Maybe you say, well, I'm a first-time guest. You see, it doesn't matter who it is. There are those, because I've talked to enough people. We go out every week and we'll knock on doors for years and years and years and years. I've done that. And not only there, those in our church, you'll talk to people at a place of business. Boy, I thank the Lord for people that you'll pass out the tracks to different businesses. I'm grateful for that. But over enough years, you talk to enough people, you begin to get a feel for what people think about heaven. And people overwhelmingly think that if I live a good life, God has a reward for me. I'll get to go to heaven and I'll get to play a harp and have wings. But that's not what God's Word says. It isn't. You know, you could imagine if a child was raised and never given any instruction, and he kind of had to try to figure things out on his own, and the first day he steps into kindergarten, he thinks he has the world by the tail. He thinks he knows it all. He thinks like Brother Ackerman. Brother Ackerman looked at my shirt today and he said, "That's a nice red shirt." He was trying to trick me up. He knows I'm colorblind, but I do know that it's green. So, but you take that small child. It's blue. You take that. Good. I have no idea what the tie is, but it's the shirt is blue. You take that small child. He walks into kindergarten, and he says to his teacher, "I know all my colors." She says, "Well, that's wonderful." And so she quizzes him, and he gets them all wrong. And she said, "Well, buddy, you need to learn some things." He goes, "I do not. I know it all. I know it all." He says, "I know mathematics as well. I'm well studied in the area of mathematics." She goes, "Oh, is that right? Oh, well, let's test you. So if I have two apples on my desk, and you bring two more apples next tomorrow for the first day or second day of class, how many apples do we have together?" He says, "Well, we've got seven apples." And she says, "Well, buddy, that's wrong." He says, "No, it's not. I know it all." That child has a lot to learn. But you see, when we come to Scripture, when we come to the Bible, it truly is fascinating how many people think, and I'm not trying to be belligerent, I'm not trying to be ugly, but we've got a lot of people that think, "Oh, I know what the Bible says." But study it, they haven't. I told you last week about a man that I spoke to. He started talking to me about evolution. And so I started asking him questions about evolution. I've studied a lot about it. He had studied very little about it, but yet he believed it with no question. I asked him about this particular law. He kind of looked at me. "Well, it doesn't really matter." I said, "Well, it greatly matters." I asked him about this particular law. "Well, it really doesn't matter." "Well, it greatly matters." But you see, when we come to Scripture, I cannot say, "Well, I really haven't ever studied it. I really don't know what it says, but I think I've got the answer." Oh, folks, let's make sure that we come. Listen, it's a clean slate. We have a new beginning, 2015. We can say it doesn't matter what I might have thought about in 2014 or 13 or on. I need to come to God and I need to come to the reasoning of Scripture and find out what is right. See, Jesus is coming again and He's coming soon. I have no doubt about that. In verse 13, it says, "I am the Alpha and Omega." With God, you see, there is no end. It's just a new beginning. In verse number 14, it said, "Blessed are they that do His commandments." We are to do what God asks for us to. But then it goes on, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the," what are the words? "Tree of life." The tree of life. Here we are at the very last page of our Bible, except for the index and concordance. The very last few verses of our Bible, and God takes us all the way back to the very beginning, to Genesis and chapter number 2. So take your Bible and go over to Genesis chapter number 2. Let's look at this. Here in Genesis chapter number 2, we see here where God tells us about this particular tree. If you go to verse number 8, here we have the record of God creating everything that we know. And in verse number 8, it says, the Lord God planted a garden. We're in Genesis 2, verse number 8. Planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life. Also, in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you and I know that one. It wasn't an apple tree. Although we say, everyone always says Adam ate the apple. We call it an Adam's apple in our throat. There's nothing new there. It wasn't an apple tree, but we'll pretend that it was. But God created this tree and he said, of all of the rest of the trees, you can freely eat, but of this very tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat it. In fact, the very day that you eat it, you will die. God doesn't lie. Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they died. But they didn't die physically. They died spiritually. God kicked them out of the garden. They went on ahead. It's not until Genesis chapter 4 that we read about the children. We read about Cain and Abel. We read about Seth. I'm sure they had other children that God did not record for us. He recorded what we need to know. So here we have a death, a very real death. He said, the very day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. Satan tried to mix Eve up and say, oh, thou shalt not surely die. But yet it did happen. They died spiritually. And so now the tree of life that they could take from and eat and have physical life forever. God said, you can read, don't read it now, in Genesis 3, after Eve and then Adam had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then God said, listen, we cannot allow them to stay in this garden lest they take of the tree of life and live forever. So God removed them from the presence of the tree of life, that fruit that gave them physical renewal every time they ate of it. And God placed it in heaven. And we just read about it back in Revelation 22. That tree of life, the very same tree of life that Adam and Eve ate from. For those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and will spend eternity in heaven, you and I will get to eat from that very same tree. I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind about that. I will get to see the very tree and partake of the fruit of that tree, the tree of life. You see, when we get to the book of Revelation, God says, I am the beginning and the end, and I am at the end of Scripture, going to take your mind all the way back to the beginning where it all started. You see, there is no real end. Death does not end it all. It never has. The grave is not the end. There is eternity after that. And it will be eternity in one of two places, heaven for those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, not trusting my baptism to get me to heaven, not trusting my money to get me to heaven, not trusting my good works. I turn over a new leaf. I made New Year's resolutions. None of that's going to get me to heaven. The only thing that will get me to heaven is what I did as a 5-year-old boy, what many of you did at different areas and different times of your life when you humbled yourself before God and you said, Dear Lord God, because of my sin, I'm on my way to hell, but I need a Savior. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's the one who died in my place. He's the one who hung on the cross. He's the one whose blood was shed for me. He's the one whose soul was not left in hell when his soul was made a sacrifice for sin, according to Isaiah 53. Because of that, God now gives the gift to every person who will take it. He offers it to everyone. He extends it to every person. Will you trust Christ as your Savior by faith? Please don't live your life as if your life is so impeccable, so good, so gracious that God is going to overlook what Jesus Christ did on the cross and say, you are so good, I don't even need the blood of Christ. He'll never do that. We all need the blood of Christ. But there will be those that watch the blood of Christ flow. They will believe that the blood of Christ has the cleansing power, but yet will never receive the gift of God. It's a gift that must be received. And what's so unfortunate there are those, I hope it's not you today. But if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a gift that has been completely, perfectly paid for, sealed, wrapped, and has been extended to you that now you must open. Now you must take. Because if you choose not to take it, that gift will remain right there. And it's not yours. Oh, this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you couldn't give me a Bible reason as to why you would spend eternity in heaven, oh, would you realize the entire purpose for a church is to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have a new beginning when we get saved. We have a new beginning. We read back in Genesis chapters 2 and 3. We read about creation. We read about the first days, all that God created on those days. We read about life that sprang forth on the fifth day. We go through all of the Bible. We read about the first 4,000 years in the Old Testament. We read about the beginning of the dawn of the 5,000 years is when Jesus Christ, who brings real life on that fifth day, when real life comes. We don't know life outside of Jesus Christ. We know an existence. But we don't know life outside of Jesus Christ. The day that you got saved, your life really began. Oh, listen, we have the Alpha and Omega. We have the tree of life that is spoken of there in Revelation 22, the same that is listed for us in Genesis chapter number 2. God planted that first garden in the midst of the Middle East where it all began. And the tree of life that man partook of in the Garden of Eden is that same tree that you and I will get to partake of at the end of our time. What you and I understand is time. The second that sweeps back and continues, it will all be over one day. It will all be over one day. And I thank the Lord that we have a new beginning. Boy, I thank the Lord for that. The new beginning in heaven is going to be unlike anything that we've ever experienced in all of our lives. Oh, I would to God that I could teach you and show you all that I can't understand it. I wish I could show you a picture. Brother Don just got back from visiting with his daughter and son-in-law, and he's got pictures here. I want to see him a little bit later of the island of Guam. Looks beautiful. Oh man, Guam. Some of you have been to Guam before, or those tropical paradise island. Those, you know, Gilligan beautiful. It doesn't come close to what heaven's going to be like. It doesn't hold a candle as to what heaven will be like. There's no way that I can do justice to heaven. It's a new beginning that I will never be able to experience until I get there. And praise God, I'll never have to experience it again because it will be a continual experience. Amen. It'll be something that I will never be able to get over. We have a fresh, if you're there in Genesis, you see in Genesis chapter number 3, the fall of mankind, the serpent that beguiled Eve, she chose to take of the fruit. She chose to say that I want to have that which is good to the flesh, good to the eyes, and that which is a pride of life. And so then Adam took of it as well. We close chapter number 3 with the fact that Adam and Eve are thrust from the garden. In verse number 22, the Lord said, "Behold, man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turneth every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Closed subject. End of story. Chapter 4. New beginning. New beginning. New beginning. And Adam knew his Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "I've begotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, of Cain and tiller of the ground. And you know the story of Cain and Abel. Seth was going to follow very, very closely. A new beginning. They had been thrust from the Garden of Eden. They thought, it's all over. How could we possibly live after having experienced the splendor of Eden? How could we possibly go another day? But God gave them the ability. He took from them that which He had placed them in. He took the beauty. He took the perfection. And now he placed them where they were going to need him every day. See, they just got to walk with him every day. It's not the need, as when now they were thrust and expelled from the Garden of Eden, now they needed God's presence every day. And you see, that's what happens when someone comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They go through life and they don't realize what... It's almost the opposite, if you will. You're living in a life that is filled with despair. Perhaps filled with sin. Certainly filled with sin. We know that. Doesn't matter who we are. For all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. But then you come to that realization of your need for heaven. Your need for a Savior. You decide you'll humble yourself. Oh, I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for the adults who will choose purposefully to humble themselves before God. Because it is pride. The pride that Satan had. The pride that Lucifer had in Isaiah. The pride that he said, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. And God expelled, thrust him out of heaven. That same pride. No wonder God hates pride. Because it's that same pride that will keep your eye out of heaven. It's pride that will send me to hell. It's pride that will keep me from heaven. It's pride. Because I think to myself, I am so good, surely God doesn't think I'm that bad. That's nothing more than pride. God wants us to humble ourselves before Him and say, Dear Lord God, I am that bad. We trust Christ as our Savior. But then we live every single day with the realization of, I have nothing of my own. All that I have has been given to me by God. And so we look at the fact that it's a new beginning. When you were saved, when you were born again, it was a new beginning. Things were different now. It was a new beginning. Oh, I love those newborn believers. They're so excited. I love the old born believer who is still excited. But boy, that man or that woman that gets saved, and boy, they realize now the Bible opens up, the Holy Spirit reveals them to them things in the Bible that they had never seen before. And there is that joy, there's that excitement. They can't wait to talk about it. They can't wait to come to church and say, this is what I read in the Bible. How many of us have been saved for 30, 40 years maybe? 20 years, 10 years? Boy, you're not excited that way anymore. You've lost the love, your first love. Let's choose a new beginning. Let's choose a new start. If you're going to take some notes, write this down. Maybe today you need a new start. A new start. It's a clean slate for your life. It's a new start, a new beginning. You get to make all new decisions this year. You don't have to make the same decisions you made last year. You can choose to have different outcomes. You don't have to make the same mistakes that you made last year. Challenge yourself with better decisions for God. Maybe you need a new life. We've already talked about salvation. Maybe you need a new life. Maybe you came this morning saying, I need a new life. Look, because of the life that I have lived, if I do as poor this next year as I have done this year, things will end even worse than they did now. Maybe you need a new life in Christ. Maybe you need a new beginning of salvation. That new start by being born again. Maybe you say, Pastor, I have no idea. Man, you've got me scared already. I don't know where I'd go, heaven or hell. I hope I could scare someone here this morning. I hope that I can scare someone. Because you don't, as much as I can't do justice to heaven, I could never do justice as to what hell is like. I could never give enough illustrations as to the torment that hell is forever and ever and ever for eternity. But there are those that say, I think I'll be all right. I'll take my chances. I've had people look at me and I've had them say, well, if that's the God that is in heaven, I'd rather go to hell. Until you've had someone say that to you, you have no idea how truthful, how angry they are at life. The first second in hell, you will, just as the rich man did, you will beg God for a change that will never come. There's no way that I could explain the pain and the... You say, oh, you're just trying to scare me. Well, if it works, then praise the Lord, because I promise you this. Jesus Christ suffered the torment of hell so that you wouldn't have to. But if you don't receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, then God's Word says you will have to suffer the torment of hell. He was the Son of God. He walked out of hell. He holds the keys to death and hell. You don't hold those keys. You'll be locked for eternity. Oh, but you can have a new life. You can be born again. And I thank the Lord that that will be an eternity in heaven. You can have a new looking. You see, looking for God's will. Will this year find you looking to see God's leading, looking for His direction, looking to God for help in your daily life? Or will it be the same old looking to yourself for the answers? There's a new life. There is new looking. There is new living. Perhaps you have memorized Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, listen to it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul is begging. He is begging them. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. He cannot say it any more emphatically. He is begging you to listen, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He is not looking for you to be slain on the altar. He is looking for a sacrifice of your life. Are you willing to say, I will have a new living? I present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you name the name of Christ as your Savior, it's only reasonable for you to say, I will be a living sacrifice. No one enjoyed failing school. You may know someone that failed school. You may be the one that failed school. You may have enjoyed the time that you spent not doing school, but you didn't enjoy the fact that you failed school. Few enjoy the fact that they were just C students, just average. Below average is even worse. Boy, you wanted to rise above the average. Now you're at work and you want to rise above the average. Your reasonable service is just average. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a C. It's your reasonable service. You're getting a C. Well, I think we should say, let's rise above that. Let's have a new life. Let's be different. Let's be different than the rest of the world. Let's be different than the rest of those who say, I'm born again. Because we've got people all over this world that say, I'm born again, name the name of Christ, but they live like they still love the devil. Amen. Boy, let's not be that. Let's say, I need a new life. I had a new living. I had a new life when I was born again. I have been looking for more of what God has for me, and I am choosing a new living. Maybe you say, I need a new start. Maybe this morning you say, I need a restart. I need a restart. I need to start again. Now let me say this. I thank the Lord that I'll never have to start again as far as salvation is concerned. I will never lose my salvation. I don't care. You can take me to task on that. You look it up. You try to find every reference you can in Scripture as to why you think you could lose your salvation. And I promise you there are at least 100. For every one you find, I can show you 100 reasons as to why you would never lose your salvation. I don't need a restart as far as my eternal security, as far as my salvation. But oh, I've needed many restarts as far as my daily walk for God, as far as my life living to please Him. I've needed many restarts. I don't have time to look at the clock. I don't have time to take us. I go over to Acts chapter number 15. You can write it down. In Acts chapter number 15, it talks about when John Mark left the work of the ministry. He walked out on Paul. Did not want to finish what he was there to do. And in fact, then when Paul and Barnabas were going to go and they were going to look at the different churches and they were going to edify the different churches that they had already planted, and Barnabas said, hey, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul said, absolutely not. The man left us. He's a quitter. We're not taking him. And the contention was so sharp that they split ways, and Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark, and both of them did a work for God. And then when you get back to the close of Paul's life, he is requesting some things from Timothy, and he says, bring John Mark, because he is profitable for the ministry. Now, I don't know what it was that took him out, and I don't know what it was that put him back in, but something put him back. He found a restart. I don't know what it's going to take. Some of you here this morning need a restart. I love you as your pastor. I love you. But some of you need a restart. You need a restart. Why not choose 2015? You try, but I tried it in 2014. It didn't work. Then start it again. Start it again. Oh man! Yesterday, brother Charles, we're out soul winning, and he was talking to me about his brother Bubba. He's been here before, and we've got a mechanic here on the premises. He's talking about his brother, and man, brother Charles, he's not listed in Genesis, but man, he's got to be in there somewhere. I'm sorry, I'm just teasing with him. He's been around Charleston all these years, man. We're going soul winning off over here, and he took me to the end of the road. He says, man, just over there, and hop, skipping, and jumping there. And man, my brother and all this, and I've been running around through. He grew up in this area. He grew up in all of this area here before there were houses. I think before there were trees. And he's talking about there used to be some old cars that were neglected back in the backwoods back there. Nice cars, but they were neglected and they were left and they didn't run. And his brother and a friend, man, they would find those old cars and they were both junkyard mechanics. And they would jump in those things and they'd start pulling things out and putting new things in, firing them up and burning their tires off, running the lug nuts off. They found this old junker that needed a restart. And man, they had fun with it. You see, some of you, you're a Trans Am. But you're rusted. I think that was the one he mentioned, the Trans Am. You're a Corvette, but you're rusted out and your engine is seized up because you've not exercised it. Let's have a restart. Man, let's have a restart. You're going to have to put some new plugs in your life. You're going to have to file the points. They don't even have points anymore, but you're so old that you do. Man, you need a restart. What is it going to take? Oh, dear friends, what is it going to take? Let's choose. We're here. We're here. We're at the beginning of the year. I can make a difference. I can choose differently. I need. Boy, I would love. I walked away from the Lord and I wandered for a long time. I would love. If I could be recorded in Scripture, if I couldn't be recorded in Scripture for having a testimony throughout all of my life, if I couldn't be that, but I was recorded in Scripture, I would want to be the one that was recorded as having saying, I failed, but I started again. I would not want to be the one that said, I failed, and I quit. Oh, let's have a restart, folks. Well, let's have a restart. We can do that. You can do that. I can do that. God is willing to use us. It's a clean slate. Let's choose that this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll close. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, I thank you for the message. Dear Lord, I beg you, please, dear God, I pray that you would help us. Lord, if there is someone here that needs a new life, dear Lord, I cannot see the heart of any individual here. But it might be that there is someone that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Dear Lord, that which I fear the most will keep them out of hell or out of heaven. I fear pride. Lord, we live in a land of people who are so proud. Dear Lord, I'm thankful for accomplishments. I'm thankful for the upstanding citizenship. But dear Lord, when it comes to pride, keeping someone out of heaven, oh dear Lord, I beg you, would you convince that person that pride is no reason to spend eternity in hell? Lord, I pray that today that they would see that without Jesus Christ, they would never be able to get to heaven. Lord, if you had orchestrated it in such a way that we could get to heaven by our good works, then there would be no reason for Jesus Christ to have suffered the cross and spent any moment in hell paying for my sin. If all it took was my good life, dear Lord, I pray that we would see it this morning. Perhaps there's one here, Lord, that needs to know Christ as their Savior. You know their heart. Lord, I look only on the outside, but Scripture teaches me you see their heart. And dear Lord, they know their heart also. I pray that they would have a new life. Dear Lord, I know, Lord, I know that there are those that need a restart. Dear God, in love, speaking the truth in love, I pray for those that need to be restarted. Lord, to be very honest, all of us could use that restart. I pray that this would be the day that we would choose this year to be different. Thank you, Lord, for your gifts to us. Your head's bowed, your eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Let me ask you a simple question about your salvation. This morning, if you say, well, Pastor, no one's looking around. This morning, if you were to have to say, Pastor Sears, I have no idea where I would spend eternity. I don't know if I would go to heaven. I don't know if I would go to hell. I really don't know. Can I, but before I ask, I'm here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand perhaps, or maybe even just look up at me. But before I get there, could I say, please don't let pride be the reason that you will not slip a hand up. Please do not let pride be the reason that you would not trust Christ as your Savior today. If I could convince you of anything, I would want to convince you of the fact that you could never, ever be good enough to go to heaven on your own. You cannot do it. And just the simple fact that Jesus died for your sin does not mean you're automatically going to heaven. You must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must call upon the name of Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now let me ask you the question. Please listen. Please listen intently. This morning, if you say, Pastor Sears, I don't know where I would spend eternity. I don't know if I would go to heaven, and I don't know if I would go to hell. But the Bible tells me how I could know. I would love to know. Folks, I'll have someone take you to a side room. You won't be up here in front of the church. I'll have them take you to a side room and they'll sit down with the Bible and show you how you could know Christ as your Savior. The question is now, is that you this morning? Would you slip your hand up or even just glance up my way? Look at me. Make sure that I see your eyes. I need to know. I don't know where I would spend eternity, but I want to know. I want to know. Is there anyone this morning, I'm looking across the auditorium, is there anyone here that would say, I must start 2015 out with the knowledge of where I'll spend eternity? Maybe this morning you'd slip your hand up even right now and say, I need a restart. I need it bad. Is that you this morning? Please, would you slip your hand up? I need a restart. I need a restart this morning. I need to be rebooted. Well, I thank the Lord for that. I see the hands. Dear Lord, I pray that you just bless those who have raised their hands, Lord, been honest before you. Dear God, I pray that all of us would be honest with you in a word of prayer. Lord, that we would look to you for that start, Lord, that restart that we need. Stand, if you would, to your feet. The piano will begin playing. The invitation is open for all of us this morning. Oh, would you come this morning, 2015? Would you say, dear Lord, I'm going to come to the altar this morning, and I'm going to say, this is a year that I will give to you. You may not have to say, this is the year, but you can say, dear Lord God, this is a year that I will give to you. Oh, would you come this morning as she plays a clean slate? Will you claim that this morning? Oh, I pray that you would. Would you come as she plays?